This is what is happening, you know. The temporal progress of the SHGs. I will not read out the figures for you. You can see the table. But what is happening is the number of SHGs which are saving linked is going up, you know. And as I said earlier, we have about 119 lakhs. The first, second row, and look to the last column, 21, 22. I have updated the data up to 31st March 2022. And this is where my figures come. About 119 lakh SHGs are there in this country. Through this movement, I have something like related 14 crore members have been associated with this process. 14 crore families have been associated with this program, you know. As I said, maybe about 80% of the groups are of women, or more than 80%. That figures you can see, this is what about current figure is something like even 87 point something is there. So that is what is happening. Savings are also increasing. If you look to the last row of this table, the savings are increasing over a period of time. That is very important. So there was a view earlier, poor do not have anything to save. But these figures are showing these poor women in the villages have saved a substantial amount of money. And those figures, if you looked at, 47,000 crores have been deposited in the banking system, you know. 47,240 crores are with the banking system, you know, of these poor people who opened accounts with the banking system. These are the credit-linked SHGs. Because firstly, the groups get linked for savings. Secondly, they get linked for credit. That last column, again, you can see 67 lakh SHGs are credit linked. For a period of time, we have improved the credit linkage. This is bound to happen. And this is what is going to take place in years to come, you know. Loan outstanding have also increased. Credit linked SHGs, basically what I look to is that last row of this, very interesting dimension you have to understand. About 44-45% of the groups are in the southern states. Andhra, Kerala, Tamil Nadu. These are the states where we have a dominance of these SHGs which are credit linked. Now, this gives a signal to us that we have to promote this movement in other states also. Maybe eastern part of the country or maybe northeastern part of the country, we have to promote these kind of groups. This is what we have to get into the message from this slide. One, okay, credit linkage increasing, everything is fine. Outstandings are increasing. But what we require is the regional disparities are there. Those have to be addressed through a kind of different mechanism, which we said, maybe we have to think of the banking network. If it is not a viable proposition, can we think of the banking correspondents? Even SHG members can become a business correspondent. And that is the ideal way which I think it can work. We can promote these SHG members as business correspondent. Now, these business correspondent can act as promoting agencies. They can promote the groups and link with the banking system. These are some of the studies which have been undertaken. What happens to the income generating activities? The extent is varying a lot if you look to it. First figure is something like Orissa, Odisha, you know, Karnataka. I find that 38% were the income generating activities. Gujarat again 28 to 33. But look to the last column, last row. Andhra Pradesh, two-thirds of the SHG members undertook the income generating activities. This is feasible. This is feasible. I'm making a statement. Feasible, provided we provide them the required skills. We provide them the marketing support. We handhold these people. We have an escort service for these people. If these four things are ensured, and what I called them in a broad sense was a credit plus. If I ensure a credit plus, these extent can vary. And my graduation process will be much faster. What I have seen in Andhra, similarly, we can have a more faster pace as far as the income generating activities by the SHG members are concerned. So the idea for this slide was only to tell you that there is a special variation across the state. There are variations, but those variations can be breached. We have to follow what happens in the other part of the country so that we also go for more graduation now. These are the kind of impact, you know. These slides will go on, you know. We'll show you the variety of impact. But my idea in this, earlier also I showed you some impact I showed you when I discussed the first chapter in the financial inclusion. Here I'm giving a little more, you know, insights. Or I'm putting more finer dimensions I'm bringing into picture. Look to it. What happens is we move from informal to formal system now. large number of people come forward to take the loan from the banking system. Many SHGs have got matured now. Matured in the sense they are able to undertake their own activities. They are able to open their individual accounts. Now, we are understanding that the loan also amount has to go up now. The loan amount, government says up to 20 lakhs of rupees can be given to these groups without any collateral. Now, that is the kind of something we have to see. But that will take time because I said credit can be trusted. I remember in economics we call it credit is a necessary condition, but not a sufficient condition. In the sense, credit is useful, but I require with credit, I require skills, I require market support, I require escort service. I should also know that this credit which has come to me has to be repaid. So I have to understand the kind of repayment also. I have to understand the repayment ethics and I have to follow it. You know. Basically, this whole slide is showing you that this program has helped these poor people in rescuing from the clutches of the moneylenders. Let me pause at this stage and tell you, this is the most important thing. These moneylenders were exploiting these poor people. Now, because of the SHG movement, there is a kind of check on these moneylenders because they know that there are alternatives. These poor people will go to the SHGs. They will get the loans. They will have a loan at a cheaper rate. As I said, under NRLM, National Rural Livelihood Mission, these groups get the credit at 7%, which is a very, very cheap credit, I call it. So they go for even the savings account. They have a bank loan, which is a cheaper loan. So this is how the shift is taking place. So one impact, which is very visible impact, is these people are getting now credit from the formal system. And that was the objective, if you remember the financial inclusion when we started, to bring these people into the ambit or into the orbit of the banking system. So this is what we achieved. This is the first impact, which is we must acknowledge. Let me look to the second part. Basically, these are the group loans, you know. The group loan takes, they are basically for non-income generating activities also. For example, even they require loan for consumption, they can take it. They require for debt swapping, they can take it. Please remember, there are few who borrow only for the non-income generating activities. But as the group go on maturing, as the group becomes old, 3 years old and more than that, these members, they realize that a credit has to be availed for undertaking an economic activity, maybe rearing of an animal, maybe a buffalo or a cow, or maybe a few sheep, or maybe a few poultry birds. They start undertaking these kind of economic activities. They know that the escort service is available. There is a training. So they do avail the support of training and this goes on. This is what I explained to you. There is a positive relationship between the financial and the digital literacy. Now, this is another literacy which is coming up. Digital literacy has become very important over a period of time. And this is going to happen. There is a positive relationship. So there is a view that can we promote the digital literacy among the SHG members? They do have mobiles. I'm not saying they don't have, but we have to teach them how to make the use of the mobiles for getting linked with the banking system ultimately. This is how it has to be done, you know. This is the last sentence, just focus on that. This has emerged as the world's largest microfinance movement. I'm repeating this word. This is the largest movement as far as the microfinance is concerned in this country, you know. This is movement is well known in the world and it has been documented that this is the largest movement we have seen across the countries. Earlier, there was a view that poor are not bankable and all those things, but the views have changed over a period of time. Look to the credit outstanding, you know. How many crores, lakhs of crores are outstanding against these groups, you know. Savings are there, you know. 1,51,000 crore is the outstanding of these groups against the bank. Now, this is very important. They have the savings. Savings, you can see, 47,000 and odd crores are there with the banks. These are the money of the poor who were thought to be non-bankable. They have a savings of 47,000 rupees in the banks. You know. As I said to you, the next impact you can see, some of the members have become the business correspondents. They are providing the services in kind of, you know, extending the loans to these SHGs through business correspondent route. This is a kind of concept which I thought I must share with you. No? Village, you know, storage schemes is being promoted by the government now. What we are saying is, even this kind of, you know, redundant godowns with the PSEs can be outsourced to the SHGs. So that these SHGs, they store the produce of the farmers and reduce the logistic cost. These women, they become the custodian of these kind of godowns. They enable the farmer to store the produce, because immediately after the harvest, there is a tendency that the prices of the crop output decreases. So the farmer has to store the produce. The question comes where to store. But suppose if we create the godowns and these women SHGs, if they undertake a kind of these operations of these godowns, they can store the produce, the members' produce, and allow these members to sell when the prices go up in the market. Then last line of this particular slide explained to you, they have to move from papad, pickle powders to, even we can say puri, you know, because in the urban area, a lot of, you know, chapati making units have come up. They have to move from this and they have to go to EADS now, electrical, engineering and electronics. Here I want to add a little more to you. Maybe a P star could be an activity, P star. In a sense, maybe we can have the P only, but we have to go for a little different P. We can go for packaging now. Now, I realize that in the villages, a lot of, you know, packaging units are coming up. These women can also undertake the packaging activity. At least I remember some of the SHGs are associated with the packaging activities which are undertaken by the larger units, so that they are getting a livelihood. Please remember, this program is creating the livelihood opportunities for these people. As I said, one third of the members went for the income generating activities. In Andhra, the extent is two third. So a large number of guys are going for income generating activities, which is possible provided we follow that credit plus approach, which we discussed a lot in the earlier chapter. There is a kind of view, you know, there is a view that the quality of SHG is a one gray area, you know. Let me, because I'm going to talk about the positives we have discussed a lot now. Now let us come to some kind of challenges rather than negatives, I'll put it. What challenges we have? We have a challenge of quality of these groups, you know. Quality, how will you judge it? I told you those 7 hours. If you follow those 7 hours, we can judge what type of group it is. There is a view that the large number of SHGs, maybe one third of the groups are of good quality, in the sense A. But there are groups which are in the B category, there are groups in the C category. Now, we have to put more efforts to improve the quality of the groups so that the better quality groups will emerge and they will prosper. There will be more graduation of SHG members, either having own accounts or undertaking the income generating activities, prospering it, and ultimately coming out of the poverty. What are the concerns? You know, as I told you, I'm looking to the concerns. You know, this is one area where I'm, the few areas where I'm worried, you know. The members, there is a view that some of the members are diverted for consumption purposes. There is a view point, you know. I admit, but that is bound to happen only in the initial stage. Slowly these guys get the skills, they get marketing support, they get escort service, and then they slowly move to kind of, you know, income generating activities. For them, the handholding is very important. Now, this is what we have to learn it. So when somebody criticizes about the propensity of these members to divert the loans and using it for consumption purpose, take it little with a pinch of salt. Yes, that is bound to happen, but only initial stage. Slowly they will go for the income generating activities. There is another concern that some of the groups are saving linked, but the credit linkage is not happening. Now, that is where we have to get worried. We have to go for it so that they will not only get linked for the saving purpose, but these SHGs, they are linked with the banks for getting credit and undertaking income generating activities. This is what is the southern states, they are, you know, the credit flow, as I said earlier, also is confined. About two-thirds of the credit flow is confined to the southern states. Now, this is where I told you, we have to go give more attention to the groups in the eastern states. We have to promote, maybe one strategy which I think is very simple, promote the SHG members as the business correspondents, allow them to promote these groups and link with the banking system. That is what we can do it now. These are the kind of areas, concerns, you know, because we are going to talk concerns. 85% or more than the groups are of women only. Can we promote the male groups? Can we promote the groups of the men? That's a question mark, you know. But the experience is showing it's much arduous task. But that is a concern, you know, because 85% of only women, how to do with the men's. Maybe one of the answers which I located was, can I promote the joint liability groups? Here I'm making a small submission to you. The SHE members could be the women, but their husbands could be the members of the joint liability groups. And what is joint liability groups and details will follow it. But this is one view we should remember it. The SHE women, they can have the joint, become the members of the SHE, but their husbands, they're better off, can be in the joint liability groups. So that husband is in the JLG, wife is in the SHE. Of course, both can also have both, you know, way. That is not a problem. But this is one way which I think which can work over a period of time. Please remember this. This is what is the kind of normal thing, you know. These groups are, they when they go for internal lending and they go for their own, they give internal lending, the rate of interest is charged as something high. Maybe some people argue it is 18% to 24%. I buy it. My view is they will buy in the initial stage when the loan is required for your consumption purpose, for required for medical purpose, for education purpose. But slowly they will learn it. They require a larger loan. They will get linked with the banking system directly and get the individual loan too. Maybe for child education, maybe for starting their own enterprise. They can also have a direct linkage with the bank and can have an individual account also, so that they get a larger loan at a cheaper rate from the banking system. But this is a concern we have to address. Initially, they don't mind to pay more because they're helpless. But continued high rate of interest will become a burden to these people. Therefore, we have to promote graduation process. And that graduation process is that allow these people to have their own account for credit and get a loan directly from the banking system. This is what is going to happen. This is one area where we have to go for it, you know. Repayments, you know, very important, you know. Repetitive borrowings have become a common feature in microfinance. In the sense, to clear one loan, they take another loan and clear the earlier loan. Now, this is, I call it a repetitive borrowings to become a kind of, you know, regular paymaster, you know. But that is not a solution. What solution we have to find is, allow these people to go for income generating activities, allow them to go for increased income. Out of increased income, they can repay the loan, and part of the increased income can be used in the family for improving their own dietary habits or meeting their consumption needs, maybe education needs, medical needs can be met. This is an estimate. Let me ponder on this one minute. When I look to the literature, the requirement is estimated at 4,50,000 crore for the poor. This is the credit requirement of poor, you know. How much we are giving? Maybe the disbursement about 1,00,000 crore, the 99,729 crore. That's what the latest figure is giving me. So my requirement is something like 4.5 lakh crore. I am disbursing hardly 1,00,000 crore. So what does it indicate? It shows there is a wide prospect of financing these SHEs in the days to come. I'm repeating this. Requirement is 4.5 lakh crore. Actual flow is hardly 1 lakh crore. So there is a huge difference which can be made in years to come through giving more credit support to the SHEs. That's a limited point I wanted to make it. These are the other areas which are concerns, you know. There is a manual bookkeeping is becoming a concern, you know. That manual bookkeeping, they maintain the records, no? How much saving they received, how much credit they gave, to whom they gave, how much it came back, and all those things, you know. What we are suggesting is they require more of transparency. They require credit history of their members now to be created. What does mean it? I only have to go for some kind of, you know, automation process, or maybe through laptops, can we promote the bookkeeping, or we call it e-bookkeeping? Can we go for electronic bookkeeping in the days to come? But that will require some training, that will require some infrastructure in the form of a mobile or a laptop. Some of the members have their mobiles. Only thing is, we'll have to train them how to maintain these books through mobile. Some attempts have been made, and NABARD has taken a lead for digitalization of records of these groups, you know. And updation of these, because creating record is not a problem. Regular updation of records is important. So NABARD has initiated a process of digitalization of records. We shall see when it goes to the next chapter. There is the e-bookkeeping which is going on by NABARD. And in some of the tribal patches, this has been tried and it has succeeded. So we have every reason to believe that e-bookkeeping will be a success in days to come. This is the kind of area for us, you know, in the anxiety of targets, you know, we have flouted some of those 7R what we discussed, you know. There have been some weak SAGs have also come up. Now, this is where I say, yes, there is a chance, but we have to cover it through more of training, more of handholding, promote them, guide them, provide escort service. That's very important to them so that their quality goes up, you know. Another concern which is saying is about 60% or even about 2/3 of the groups are under National Rural Livelihood Mission, and therefore there is a fear that the entire movement now depends upon the government support, because the interest subvention is currently made available under National Rural Livelihood Mission by the government. So the progress of these or the speed at which the movement goes up depends upon the interest subvention, depends upon the government support which is going to come for the interest subvention or interest subsidy. Subvention is nothing but interest subsidy. That's what I'm putting it. You know? So here is a kind of, you know, one concern we have, that this whole movement, the space will depend upon the subvention which is available from the government. This is what I told you when I started this program. There were two programs which have been launched by NABARD. Now, basically, these are skill-oriented programs. This one is MEDP, Micro Enterprise Development Program, which began in 2006. The objective was very simple. Can I give them the location-specific training within the village itself? Rather than calling them to district headquarters, go to the village. But a group of people has to be there, maybe 30, 40 people have to be there, who can be trained for a particular activity. Maybe a kind of stitching activity could be there, or maybe a kind of, you know, rearing of animals on a scientific basis could be there. The course was aiming at meeting the deficit. Deficit in what? Deficit in skills of these people. Because I said, unless we have the skills, the program is not going to see the success. Similarly, we have to go for the facilitation of optimization of production activities. We have to facilitate these production processes, you know. We have to go for handholding of these people. These programs, they cover the farm activities, they cover the non-farm activities. They promote the micro enterprise on an individual basis or on a group basis. The enterprise can come up either individually or on a group basis. Both is feasible and is happening in the field. Depending upon the kind of, you know, interest of the group, sometimes they start individual activity, sometimes it comes as a group activity too. We shall show you some of the experiences in the field where we have gone for a group activity and we have received a success also. Basically, you know, these MEDPs, I'm just narrating a little more. These are providing training programs. What we require? We require skills, we require inputs, we require coping mechanisms. Coping mechanisms in the sense, I require, suppose I fail, I require a mentor actually. I require a mentor to help me if I commit a mistake, you know. So the mentoring is very important in MEDP is what we require. We require repeated doses of credit. One dose will not solve your entire problem. I require a kind of repeated dose of credit to sort out this issue. Basically, these activities could be, you know, few activities I named it, not necessarily that these are the only activities, maybe a beauty parlor in the village, maybe a dairy, maybe vermicompost, maybe street food cart, maybe a candle making, mushroom cultivation. Some of these activities are taking place individually or through the groups in the rural areas, you know. What happens, you know, these MEDPs have given a kind of, you know, these people awarded a drudgery of traveling miles together for PT jobs, that migration, what we call. The migration arrested because the jobs are created in the village itself, you know. This is giving a kind of freedom, economic freedom is coming to these people. Basically, they are able to fulfill their personal ambitions, personal aspirations are being fulfilled through these kind of training programs. So what I conclude here is basically, as far as the MEDPs is concerned, these are the skills, you know, the skills are provided to these people through a training program. There is another program. Let us see through that program what happens. This is the Livelihood Enterprise Development Program. This program commenced in 2015, you know. Here, what happens, please note it, you know. There is a provision for training. Okay, tick. Which was there earlier in MEDP also. Here is a refresher training also. Training is okay. Refresher training or training again. That's kind of thing. Here we provide the linkages. That's a kind of problem which was there in the MEDPs. MEDPs, there were no linkages. You know. Here we are giving a focus on linkages. I create a backward and forward linkages. We provide the handholding. We provide the escort support. Because the aim is create a kind of enabling environment so that we are able to create sustainable livelihood generation activities through a holistic approach or through a comprehensive approach. So here, I don't give only training, I develop even the linkages. I go even for refresher of training if it is required. I go for the escort services. So this kind of, and aim I told you, create a sustainable livelihood for the poor people who have been the members of the SAG and they want to go for a next level, where I call them a graduation level, where the LEDPs come into picture. Since 2015, these programs are going on. These programs are decided for about 15 to 30 SAGs in a cluster of villages, which is decided. 5 to 6 members from the selected each SAG, 5 to 6 members per SAG can be selected, and we can train these people. The costing and other things are just for your information. Here, the project cost, what I wanted to give a message was, the project cost is flexible. The support comes from NABARD for training these act. The training support is from NABARD. The cost is flexible. Depending upon, for example, the beauty parlor will require a different training. The vermicompost will require a different training. The mushroom which I referred requires a different set of training. So the training skills which are required for different activities are different. Therefore, no single specific cost can be given. It provides 3,000 rupees per participant. No, that cannot be done. Therefore, the project cost is flexible. It is enough to understand that this support comes from NABARD for various activities. Only thing is what we require is provide the escort, provide the linkages, provide the skilling, provide refresher training if they require again, not one training. Give a repetitive training also if it is required. And that is possible through LEDPs, or we call it livelihood enterprise development programs. Basically, you know, as I said, basically it looks to end-to-end solution, you know, to the problems of the SAGs. Beside training, handholding is envisaged. Please remember that last word is very important. Convergence with the government schemes is envisaged through this program. Government has a lot of schemes. So what we try through this program, training is there, but the convergence is ensured with the scheme so that ultimately these people are able to get the benefit of subsidy and other benefits which are available under the government programs. They flow to these people, that is what is expected. Maybe even the marketing support can come. Wherever the marketing support is available under the government schemes, that can be converged. Convergence is the key word for me in days to come. I do not look to any single program. What I require is the convergence of various programs of the government agencies, including SAG and LEDP, other programs of government, so that there is a kind of graduation of SAG members to income generating activities. Basically, what we do is, you know, what NABARD supports, you know. There are various SAGs, you know. Some of the SAGs have succeeded, you know. I'll show you a few life stories where we are the success of the SAG. These SAGs can be shown to others, actually. These successful SAGs can be a kind of, you know, showcases, and they can become the models for others to go to those units, see how they could achieve the success. Can they replicate success? That's a question mark for them, actually. Because unless you see, you cannot undertake an activity. So some of the exposure visits are allowed. And where we get a successful SAGs are there. The trainings are conducted by taking the people from one area to another area, show their successes, and allow these people to grow over a period of time. The change in livelihood we have discussed enough. I will not be repeating the things. But there is a need to change from P to E or P star. Where P star, I refer to something like a packaging, you know, one area which I quickly came to my mind. These are the kind of, you know, photographs where I thought I must share with you, know. That earlier that peas are there in the picture, if you see. Slowly the lady has gone to E, you know, where she is shouldering the electric rings, actually, which are used for Diwali, Dashera, or for the Christmas. Something like that, strings of the bulls is created. This is around Ullasnagar near Mumbai. We have tried. These ladies have been trained for that work and they succeeded. The bottom picture is showing you these people have gone for fish farming as a group activity. This is not an individual activity. This is a group activity where they go from, in fact, it is also P, but it is P star, I put it. I call it pisciculture. They moved from peas to P star, you know. So that is something I thought I must share with you. These are the live cases where we have seen a success and these guys have prospered over a period of time. This is something packaging, you know, the traditional packaging which goes on. And this is a new way of packaging. I have seen it. This is a live case where the SAG members were involved in evolving a package which is environment friendly, which is cost effective. Please remember, these two considerations, the packaging material was used. These ladies, they developed the bags actually, cloth, where the bags were environment friendly because plastic was avoided. And secondly, they were cost effective too. Now, this is a live case. I quoted the reference. In case you want, you can also see that. But this is how the things are going on, you know. Things are changing. That's what I wanted to show you. How I look to way forward. What is the way perspective I am seeing it, you know? Basically, as I said, we are going to address that sustainable development goals, you know, where we are going to reduce the poverty, we are going for zero hunger, we are going to have the gender equality because 85% of the groups are of women, please remember. Now, that is going to be a great achievement for women to have the empowerment process and gender equality. These women are joining the economic growth, reducing inequalities between the males and the females. That is what is going to happen, you know. This is the way forward I'm pursuing, actually. Now, basically, I'm looking to it that is, I look more for education, I look more for training, health, entrepreneurship, and grassroots level participation, political participation is going to come. I've seen few SAG women where they moved from the village, kind of, you know, SAG president to a member in the panchayat, and ultimately becoming a sarpanch, in the sense the panchayat head in the village, you know. So that's something like a grassroots level political participation is going to come up. And that is a perspective I'm putting it, you know. Basically, these, I said, existing loans are a very small amount, you know. Can I, whether my 4 lakh, 2 lakh rupees loan is enough for 12 people? Certainly not. So what I'm seeing is, maybe over a period of time, the SAG loan has to be gradually, it has to be raised, you know. This is what we have to understand. And this is what the experience in various parts of the country is showing. Srinidhi in Andhra, this is what the study found, that there was a positive relationship between the financial and digital literacy. This is where it's very important. We have to go more for digital literacy. That is one of the areas which I'm thinking is that we have to think for SAG BLP, that we have to impart the financial literacy, we have to impart digital literacy, because both these literacies are going to boost, you know, your asset accumulation. That is very important, you know. If I have to promote asset accumulation, we will have to promote these two types of literacy, digital literacy, financial literacy. Financial literacy, as I said earlier, improves my asset allocation efficiency, you know, which is very important if I have to raise my income levels, you know. This is very important, and we have repeatedly said this. This particular sentence has come very often, and I won't repeat that these are the kind of repetitive credit doses have to come up to these groups so that they undertake the income generating activities, not only undertake, they expand it over a period of time. They get a larger credit support. They will expand the kind of income generating activities and will raise the household income and standard of living. Ultimately, what that SDG, sustainable development goals are to be achieved, we require repetitive credit doses are required. There is a need for, you know, federations. I explained to you, the whole slide is giving only a small message to you that I have to promote DSAG federation at cluster level, but these federations have to be play the role of credit facilitation rather than a role of credit purveyor. I don't want them to disburse the credit. I want them to facilitate the credit for SAGs. That's all. They can do the non-credit functions they can undertake. For example, building the linkages, imparting trainings, organizing training programs. They can do a role and they can facilitate credit support. That's what I'm envisaging for the credit support for the SAGs. Basically, you know, the kind of, you know, I showed you, they can be successful. SHGs are there in various parts of the country. They can be showcased, and people can be, people in the sense the women of other SHGs can be taken to those groups. They can undertake some lessons, and they can prosper through the kind of exposure visits which we arrange. These are supported by NABARD through the grant funds. These are the various references which I have used it for building this particular presentation. These are another few lists, you can just have it. Thank you very much. With this, we are concluding the chapter 2 on SHGs and bank linkages.